Today, the theme of the sermon is about Independence Day. One of the traditional things that you do on Independence Day, or on the 4th, as many of us call it, is to grill out. According to the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, approximately 150 million hot dogs are consumed by Americans on the 4th of July. If you line them up end to end, that number of hot dogs would stretch from Washington, D.C. to Los Angeles more than five times. I wonder how many of you ate hot dogs on the 4th. I would imagine quite a few of you. So why do we celebrate Independence Day? Well, maybe perhaps a little history is in order. July 4th, or Independence Day, has its roots in the Revolutionary War, in which the 13 colonies fought for independence from Great Britain. On June 7th, 1776, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia proposed a resolution to the Second Continental Congress that the 13 colonies ought to be free and independent states. This resulted in the forming of the Committee of Five, which was tasked in drafting up a statement for the colony's case for independence to present to the world. The committee consisted of two New England men, John Adams of Massachusetts and Roger Sherman of Connecticut, two men from the middle colonies, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, and Robert R. Livingston of New York, and one Southerner, Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, with Jefferson writing most of the statement. After a series of revisions, the new statement of independence was submitted to Congress. On July 2, 1776, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence, and 2 days later, on July 4, 1776, delegates from all 13 colonies officially adopted the Declaration of Independence. This document is foundational to what it means to be an American, to be free. And that is why we celebrate Independence Day. A couple of more fun facts about July 4th. Philadelphia held its first annual commemoration of independence on July 4th, 1777, and was reportedly the first to use fireworks to celebrate. On July 5th, 1777, the Pennsylvania Evening Post reported that there was a grand exhibition of fireworks which began and concluded with 13 rockets on the commons, and the city was beautifully illuminated the night of July 4th. That same night, the Sons of Liberty set off fireworks over Boston Common. On July 3rd, 1781, Massachusetts legislature called for an official state celebration to recognize the anniversary of the independence of the United States of America, making it the first state to recognize the 4th of July as an official holiday. In 1870, the U.S. Congress made July 4th a federal holiday. In 1941, this provision was expanded to grant a paid holiday to all federal employees. And three U.S. presidents have died on July 4th. Can you name them? They were Jefferson, Adams, and Monroe. So why all the talk about Independence Day? Well, because I think in some ways it really portrays the ideal American spirit. Being self-sufficient and independent is really our goal. Ultimately, what is one of the main goals of parents? Raise your children so they can survive out on their own, right? And as kids, you go to school and you do well. Pardon me. And as kids, you go to school and do well so you can get a good job, make a lot of money, and survive out on your own, to be independent, right? And you even see it in little ones. I want to do it myself, they say. And that's not bad. Until it crosses over into Christianity, into your faith. I want to do it myself is a death sentence. What works well in the secular world doesn't always work well when it comes to our faith. Independence is life without God. And without God, there's no hope, there's no life, there's no salvation. But we can change that. Well, God can change that. He can take independence and make it independence. Independence, one word, becomes independence, two words. Independence Day, a day that we celebrate our national freedom, can also be a reminder of our Independence Day, a day that we celebrate our freedom from our bondage to sin, a day that God freed us from trying to do it on our own and failing, to a day that we remember our baptism. Independence Day is our baptism day. I believe my Independence Day was March 20th, 1966. Maybe you know your date, a date that God declared you to be his dependent, his child, his son or daughter. When we are baptized in the name of the triune God, we are no longer a spiritual orphan, but we have a heavenly Father who adopts us, makes us part of his family, rescuing us from sin, death, and the devil, and leads us to eternal life. Being baptized in the name of the triune God helps us to understand that everything that we have comes from our Heavenly Father. Before the world was ever formed, God existed. Everything that we have comes to be through him, and that includes you and me. And he provides for everything on the earth, including us. Through different means, God provides food, shelter, clothing, work, entertainment, relaxation, you name it. It all comes from God. Now, that independent spirit in you may be saying, hey now, Pastor, just wait a minute. I went to work to earn money for the food that I have, money to pay for my house payment, for my rent, for the entertainment that I enjoy? Well, I understand that. That may be true. But who supplied you with that natural talent or the ability to do your job? Or the natural resources that your job requires? Or even your time on this earth or the air that you breathe? The answer is God. He provided everything that enabled you to earn that money to pay for the things that you have or that you need. Without God, we wouldn't exist. Being baptized helps us change our frame of mind and our attitude to realize that we really are dependent on our Heavenly Father for all that we have and all that we need, all that we are. When we are baptized in the name of a triune God, as an adopted child, we have a brother who died for us. Born in sin and hostile to God, our independence from God is an eternal death sentence. But on our Independence Day, our old independent self is drowned in the waters of baptism, and we are united with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. On the cross, he took our sins upon himself, suffered the Father's wrath, died, and spent 3 days in the tomb. But the Father accepted his sacrifice and raised him from the dead. Jesus now waits in heaven until the day when he returns and takes us with him for eternity. Our debt is paid. We are redeemed to a new life with him. This new life we have is dependent on the one who lived a perfect life, fulfilling the Father's salvation plan from before the creation of the world, including all the Old Testament prophecies about him. Our old independent self will continue to battle for our heart and our mind. But just remember your independent day, when the water and the word united you with your brother, who defeated sin, death, and the devil, and made you dependent on the one who couldn't be defeated, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we are baptized in the name of the triune God, we are given the Holy Spirit, who creates, strengthens, and sustains faith in us. We cannot do it on our own. Therefore, the independent person is in trouble. There's a line in the newest small catechism under the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed that I find just a little bit amusing. It reads like this: I believe that I cannot believe. You may be more familiar with this explanation. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. We are born enemies with God, rejecting any sort of relationship with him. It is only through the working of the Holy Spirit that we come to a relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit uses means, what we call the means of grace, word and sacraments, to reach us. One popular Bible verse that demonstrates this concept for us is Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In Ephesians 2:1, the Bible tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sin. The dead cannot change their situation. They are stuck right where they are. That is why we are dependent on God for his help. A couple of verses later in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes this: But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raises us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Pardon me. God sends the Holy Spirit to us and uses the means of grace, hearing or reading the Bible, Holy Communion or baptism, to create, sustain, and strengthen faith in us. That is why our independence is a death sentence. There is nothing that we can do to get or earn our faith. We receive faith as a gift. And receiving the gift of faith from God, the Holy Spirit at baptism, is what makes it our Independence Day. Independence. It's something that we praise in toddlers, strive for as youth, and a trait that we teach and model as parents. It's something the men and the women of the 13 colonies needed and fought for. And they drafted the Declaration of Independence to declare it to the world. But maybe we should rethink this spirit of independence. Adjust it just a little bit. After all, it's not so great when it comes to our faith. To be independent when it comes to our faith is a death sentence, for faith is impossible without dependence upon God. So next year on the July 4th, on our Independence Day, when we celebrate our independence from Great Britain, let's use it as an occasion to remember to also celebrate our own Independence Day, our baptism day, the day God saved us when we couldn't save ourselves. And to him be all the glory. Amen.